few weeks ago, we started in the book of Ephesians, and I've thoroughly been enjoying it. It's like all scripture. It's useful. And I'm finding it as I slow down. Sometimes I read through books too quickly, and there's some benefit to that, to start and sit down and read the whole letter. Somebody writes you a letter, you read the whole thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes it's fun to go back and to find a favorite phrase or a favorite concept to kind of zero in on a little bit more. We talked quite a bit about grace and peace. We've talked a lot about praising the God that gives us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And as I look at each one of these verses, there's really, Ephesians is so full of depth. As I look through this section that we're in right now, starting in verse 3 and going through verse 14, that's one sentence in the Greek. Paul wrote run-on sentences. And he had so much stuff, he just kept on trying to get it out and wanted to push forward. And I'm glad he did that, but there was too much depth for me to be able to hold it in. As one reading is not going to work, and even just multiple readings, it's like there's still more depth there. There's stuff there that I'd like to spend more time on. And so I've slowed way down here. And a month into it, we're in verse 4. Ephesians 1:4. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, it's page 1782. Lord, thank you that your word is true. Thank you that there's so many positive explanations of how you've reached out to us, of what you've done to demonstrate your love, and how it was always your plan and it's not an afterthought. I'm glad that you chose me for your family, for your team, Jesus, and help me to grow and be trained properly, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Teach me to understand your scripture and to rightly divide your word of truth, God. Amen. Ephesians 1:4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's not quite the whole verse. There's a couple more words that sort of run into the sentence that's next. When you're trying to divide one long sentence, it was tough for some of the translators to know. We could have put in love, blameless in his sight in love. That would work there too. But the in love seems to fit better with the next concept in verse 5. So I'm going to save that for next week. This part, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. When it starts out with 4, I kind of need to know what's happened before that. And there's a continuation here of a thought. It didn't just disappear and jump out of nowhere. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. So this 4 is reaching back, and it's like, who's the he and who's all this? God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God himself chose us. One of the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms is God chose us. Now, when the Seahawks or some other team, they have a draft day, those players are so happy to be chosen. They've been waiting. They've been working hard. They've been trying hard to earn it. And then they get chosen. This is not quite like that. He's giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. He's just lavishing on us things that we don't even deserve. And it's pretty clear here that we didn't deserve it because we haven't done anything yet. We're not in existence yet when this choosing took place. So the connecting word here, 4, is going back to who is doing it and why he's doing it. And he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us. And that's real hard for some, because a lot of times we want to think, well, we did the choosing. You know, we accepted Christ. We are the ones. And you know what? Scripture teaches that. It teaches both of these things. When Spurgeon was asked, how do you reconcile God's sovereignty and election and predestination and all of that with man's responsibility and man's need to do something? And Spurgeon says, I don't have to reconcile it. I don't reconcile friends. They already work together. It's not one or the other, it's both. He chose us. Yeah, we kind of choose him too when we recognize that he chose us. It's important for us to recognize too that he did this before we existed. God didn't just kind of think in his head, I think I'm going to write up a resume for what it's going to take to be a Christian. We do that as humans. We try to come up with a list of what's necessary to be part of the body of Christ. And then we try to set barriers and fences and try to keep people out. He chose us. As I look through Scripture, I believe he chooses everyone in one way or another. And there's, you know, we have to choose him as well. So there's, you ever been invited to dinner and then not shown up? Or you've invited somebody else and they haven't come? There's a human responsibility here somewhere too. I don't totally understand it. I know that God's sovereign and he's the one that's orchestrating and he's the author of all things and he's making things happen. And yet I also know that my Bible tells me, don't quench the Spirit. He's trying to do something in your heart, in your life. He's trying to work through you. Don't put out his fire. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. What do we do with that? It's like we need to believe. But then it does continue if you look in John 3. I mean, that's the part we don't like to look at. It's like, but he who does not believe is condemned already. If God's trying to choose us and we're quenching the Spirit and we're saying, no, I'm not going to believe that, and we're pushing him away, there's consequences for that. And again, I was raised a Baptist, okay? Once saved, always saved, you know, and we can, and I believe that. I don't believe that God's going to let anything, anybody, including myself, snatch me out of his hand. He's called me. He's chosen me. I'm his. But there are a lot of verses in Scripture that talk about how we can sever our relationship with God. There's ways that it talks about us being condemned. There is a judgment. What do we do with these things that look like they're a dichotomy? I mean, it's like, okay, there's a paradox going on here. Which way is it going? My Bible tells me that God would not have anyone to perish. It's not his will that anyone would perish. My Bible tells me that God is all powerful. And my Bible tells me that Jesus is going to come back and he's going to judge. And he's going to separate the sheep and the goats. And all of those things are true. So when it says he chose us, he did. He chose us for a purpose, for a reason. God so loved the world. He didn't just say God so loved the people in this country, but not that country. This word chose is interesting too. It's the same word it's not the same word because you got Greek and you have Hebrew, but there's the LXX that was written in Latin, and they used the same word here as God choosing the Israelites when he chose Abram to make a great nation out of him. And it's real clear when you look through Old Testament that God didn't choose Abram because he was worthy and that he deserved it and that he was the best of the best. And when the Israelites were muttering and complaining and saying, well, at least we had, you know, figs and things and nice stuff back in Egypt, and why can't we go back there? And they're complaining to God in the desert because he's feeding them every day and he's keeping their clothing and their shoes from wearing out, and he's watching over them. And the only reason they're going through the desert is because of their own stubbornness and their own desires to have things done their way. And this whole time, he's taking care of them. He made it real clear, I didn't choose you because you were the best nation in the world. I didn't choose you because you were righteous. I chose you because I chose you. So when Paul tells us in this book that we call Ephesians, he chose us. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ chose us. I think that kind of puts me in the same realm as those Israelites that I read about. And I probably am acting just like them a lot of times. But there still is something special about being one of God's chosen people. What do we do with that? He chose the Israelites to be a blessing to all nations. He chose us to evangelize the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything. And you know, we've got these concepts that, well, if God's sovereign, we don't have to do anything. It's going to work out anyway. And in a sense, that's true. And yet, there's also this human responsibility. God chose us for a purpose. First of all, he chose us to be in him. And when we read again through all of Scripture, and especially the words of Jesus Christ, when he was saying his prayer before he went to the cross, he prayed for us. He prayed for those that had not yet become believers. He prayed for those that were coming. He saw it to the future. And his whole language was like, I want them to be in you like you are in me and I'm in you. And it's like this closeness that the Father and the Son, the Spirit have together. We're supposed to have that as believers as well. And the world's going to know that we're Christians by our love for one another, and then our love for others. We're supposed to be in him. That phrase is all throughout Ephesians, talking about being in Christ, in him. It means something. When we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, it's in Christ. My Bible tells me that Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And then there's a sense here as we get later on into Ephesians that we're there with him right now. Not just future. If we're in Christ and he's in us, we're with the Father. Now, before the creation of the world, before the foundations of the world, depending on what translation you're looking at, this tells me that an eternal being had a plan. I didn't exist yet, but he knew I was going to. And like little Wyatt back there, it's a blessing to have children. And here's Jesus, God, before the creation of the world, before any of us existed, saying, I choose them. They're my family. I want them. Those are my children. And that kind of fatherly love is not going to go away. He chose us before the creation of the world. He's an eternal being. What did he choose us for? There's a purpose. To be holy. That's kind of a weird word, isn't it? To be saints, to be set apart, to be perfect. Again, a lot of the Old Testament language of sacrifice is starting to come in here, holy and blameless. That's how Jesus was presented on the cross, holy and blameless. That's how the lamb was presented every single day when there was a sacrifice. Without spot, without blemish, holy, blameless. Perfect. If we're in Him, we also are in His suffering. That's a weird concept. Scripture talks about that. That we participate in the suffering of Christ so that we can glorify God somehow. We were chosen to be holy. We were chosen before the foundation of the earth was laid. Chosen before the Genesis to be holy. And I'd like to say that He chose me because He didn't know anything about me, and yet He knew everything. Just like he knew Judas was ready to betray Him, sell Him out to the authorities. He knows the worst thoughts we've ever had. If we were to be judged on our entire life, every thought, every action, every word, every omission, where we didn't do the things we knew we were supposed to do, if we were judged on that, not one of us could go to the cross, not one of us could go to that place of salvation and say, I deserve this. He chose us to be holy, knowing that we wouldn't be during this time period, but He's going to make us holy. There is this hope that we have that in the next age, when there's new heaven and new earth, and we're ruling and reigning with Jesus. Holy. We're going to get it one day. We're going to be able to shed all that stuff and the things that God has already separated from us and placed into the deepest sea, our sins. Maybe we can get it figured out that we can separate that too. It's hard for me to not go to some of the places that my mind is taking me right now. It was a hard week. Watching people shouting in each other's faces as if it's normal. Screaming, shame, shame, shame. You know what? Every one of us, if we think about it, we could be the one that's full of shame. And yet God says, I chose you before the creation of the earth. I chose you before the beginning of time to be holy. And holy people have no shame. There's only one solution to this crazy world's problems, and that's Jesus. And I need Him. You need Him. We all need Him. So that we can shed that shame and wear those robes of righteousness that Jesus is trying to lay on us. So when the Father looks at us, He'll see Jesus. We were chosen to be holy. There's only been one holy person that's ever lived and walked this earth. Truly holy. And yet we were chosen to be holy in Him. We were chosen to be blameless, without fault, without spot, without blemish, without any kind of problems. Can any of us say that we're blameless? I've known a few prosecutors during my life, and one of the things that they don't seem a lot of really concerned about is like if somebody that they've prosecuted goes to jail and they might have been innocent for that one crime, they comfort themselves in knowing, well, he probably did some other things that he got away with. it's kind of a weird way to go, but I mean, I've heard that from their mouths, and it's like, yeah, maybe he didn't do this one, but he did so many other things, I'm glad we got him on something. When they caught Al Capone, wasn't for the stuff that they wanted to catch him for. Let's get him for tax evasion. He's probably laundering money. We can't prove that, but we can prove that he didn't pay all the taxes he was supposed to pay, because we can prove he made more money than he paid taxes for, so let's put him in jail for that. I mean, we find ways to in our minds, determine somebody's really bad, they're really evil, they must be punished. I can't prove what they've done wrong, but I'm going to find something, and we're going to keep accusing them until I come up with the right thing that sticks. And if you throw enough mud, pretty soon something will stick. Now, I know myself well enough, it wouldn't take very much for somebody to find mud on me. And being blameless, being holy, I mean, that's kind of... Do you know me? But in Christ I'm holy. In Christ I'm blameless. And we're talking about the Father here. In His sight, He chose us. In Him, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. When He looks on us, what does He see? It's like, that's my boy, that's my girl. That's my special child. But He sees Jesus. He sees a holy, blameless, righteous individual that's accepted in the Beloved, that's in the family, and is not going to be rejected for any reason whatsoever. Now, if He sees that, does that take away all of our human responsibility to try to work towards that? It's like, do we want to put more pain and torture on the cross, or do we want to try to live the life that we were designed to live? Set aside all those things that so easily beset us, those sins. It's difficult to set aside the sin that comes natural. Those are the sins that so easily beset us. Getting sucked into other people's negativity is something that, you know, if you're around a crowd and somebody starts complaining or whatever, it's really easy to fall into that. But why? Yeah. Love the sounds. Lord, we come to You knowing that in Your sight, You can look at us and You can recognize that we've been redeemed. We've been sanctified. We've been set aside and presented as holy to You. I pray that on that day of reckoning, as we are truly, as a body, the entire body of You, of Jesus Christ, presented to You, that we will recognize that it's just... What a blessing to walk into Your presence and not feel shame. When Peter saw You, he says, he couldn't look at You because of the sin that was in his life. When the prophets looked at You, they felt less than. And yet you're calling us to be co-laborers. Lord, I want to be in reality what I am positionally in Your sight, holy and blameless. Thank You for not giving up on me. Amen. If you could stand and we'll close.